with them. 1 John chapter 2. And this would be a complement and a supplement and add to our study last Lord's Day. And if I may read 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, 16 and 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now my subject for this Bible study is overcoming worldliness. How do you overcome worldliness as a believer? Now you see in verse 15, we have a command, powerful command, love not. Stop loving the world. That's also another meaning of that verb, love not the world. And we are called to take very seriously this command. I don't know if when you read the word, you like to see how often a word is repeated. Now in verse 15, 16, 17, the word world is repeated 6 times. So which means it is a key word there. Keyword, love not the world. And we explained the meaning, 7 different meanings of the word world. But it is about the system, the anti-God system of this world. And actually, the word world, as I explained also on Sunday, is the word cosmos. And that word cosmos really, the etymology means order, the order of things. So this world has a specific order or harmony that is against God. So that is why a Christian cannot associate himself with the world. And we have to remember that. My dear friends, you can see it. Young and old alike, our society is so permissive, extra permissive, extravagance in permissiveness. It's all around us. Every spectrum of life is tainted, polluted, and colored, rust-colored, with the permissiveness we see in our world today. And it is... the sad part, it has come into the church. We see it in worship. We see it in dressing. We see it in preaching. We see it even in the methods of evangelism, pragmatism. And by pragmatism, I mean the end, what they say, the end justify the means. No. We don't enter into that. The believer shies away, runs away from any form of pragmatism. Because it's not because something works that it is godly or biblical. We have to follow the path and the way of the Bible, the method of the Bible. And the method of the Bible about winning souls is to preach the gospel. No gimmicks. No entertainment, no pantomime, no mimes, no clowns, nothing as such, no orchestra, you know. So you use God's methods, you leave the blessing to God. And God will never let you down if you do his way. I know, you know the text, 1 Samuel chapter 2, we read that God honors who honors him. You honor God, he will honor you, because God is no man's debtor. He is no man's debtor. It's all by grace. So we need to look at those things. Even the way the Lord's Day is dishonored today. You know, the fourth commandment, we read that we need to honor, to respect the Lord's Day. We must observe the Lord's Day. And for many people, the Lord's Day became really their day of doing things that are so worldly. But it is among the Ten Commandments. I often say to myself, people who say, oh, that is only in the Old Testament. Why would God give us Ten Commandments? And we say, no, we want only nine, we don't want ten. And the ten actually represent the nature and the character of God. You know, the Puritans, long time ago, they gained for us in this country that on the Lord's Day, all the shops are closed. And even for many of us, still young, you know, even the Wimbledon tennis championship, or however they call it, was not played on Sundays. The league here, the football league, they wouldn't play on Sunday. But now it's all shops, whatever sport people are doing. Even, I don't want to detain you with this, even Jonathan Edwards, the champion, I remember many years ago, he said he will never run the long jump. Yeah, he will never run on a Sunday. But he has forgotten what he believed in. You see? So the Lord's Day is so important for the believer. Bible interpretation. All these things, you see worldliness in the way. Church government. The list goes on and on, really. And you see, today many preachers have bookish knowledge, what I call bookish knowledge. Their heads are big head of knowledge, but their hands are empty. If I may say, their hearts are empty. Oh, my dear friends, look at even in some churches. You know, there are churches where the Bible is not read at all. The man just comes and vociferates. Tell us stories, what he watched on TV, which magazine he read, well, his own stories. And that's the sermon. And this is how churches are living today. And even when a verse is, a Bible is read, it's a very short section, two or three verses. No, my dear friends, the Bible is the only element that is inspired in our worship. Whatever we do, nothing of it is inspired. But the Bible, when you read it, this is the very word of God. It is inspired. So what should we really read in the service, in worship of the Lord? His word. And he inspired that word for us, for our good. Oh, my dear friends, our new birth, you know, if you are born again, you have an instinct, natural, or I should say spiritual instinct in you. But you understand by using the word natural. You have that natural instinct in you that now you distance yourself from the world. It is like a pest. You run away, contagious gangrene and sickness. You run away from it. So John again unmasks really the word for us. The word is here exposed. My dear brothers and sisters, the word and the Lord are sitting on two opposite chairs, watching two different directions, mutually exclusive. The word and the Lord sitting on two chairs, but watching different directions. So the believer, may I tell you, you know, when you buy an article or something in the shop, a lot of time you see two little letters, TM, trademark. You know what is the trademark of a believer? The believer, one word, different. Your trademark, you are different. Not indifferent, but different. We will never be indifferent to the world. People are dying in their sins. How could we close our eyes and our hearts and our prayers not to tell them about their fate, about their destiny, their destination? Oh, if only we could wake them up. And that is why, my dear friends, we will never be in a church where people only want to be happy. It's not about happiness. We will never and we should never be in a church where we just want to entertain people. That is worldliness, and it is in churches today. So look at verse 17, which I didn't touch on, at least a part of it. But this is very positive. Look at it. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever, remaineth forever, dwelleth forever. That word, we will come to it. The last sermon we shall look at in 1 John chapter 2, just in chapter 2, will be related to that word abide. Because when you count it, it comes from chapter 1 and 2, it comes many times, 8, 9, 10 times probably with other synonyms. But you see, if you abide in the will of God, you remain forever. So Christ reconciled temporality and eternity. And you will never find that in any other religion. Christ reconciled the transient, the momentary. He reconciled that with eternity. That is why we don't look at how, oh, this man lived 100 years in this world. But this is a drop in comparison to eternity. In eternity, there will be no time. I believe sometime in my dull mind, I said to myself, God created time because of us. Otherwise, God dwells outside time and space. God doesn't need time. He doesn't need space. He created all things. But we have, you don't have to turn to it, but if you want, it's 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. You know what we have? Bible says that we have an eternal inheritance. Eternal inheritance. And that inheritance is reserved for us in heaven, incorruptible, undefiled, and fadeth not away. It fadeth not away. Everything in this world fades away. Beauty fades away. Health fades away. Education fades away. Even great empires, you know, great empires, take them. You can list them one by one. The Roman Empire, great empire. The Assyrian Empire, great empire. The Babylonian Empire, the Greek Empire, the Great Britain Empire. Where is it today? The Ghana Empire, the Mali Empire. These were real empires that have existed. But today, ruins. Ruins. They are all gone. Why? Because you are living in a decaying world, you like it or not. Decaying, the degeneration of our world is taking place. Oh, my dear friends, the world is orphan. Do you know that? The world is orphan. But the believer is not orphan. In John chapter 14, 15, and 16, the Lord speaking about the Holy Spirit, he said, I will not leave you orphans. What shall I do? I'm going to send you the Comforter. You are not orphans. You have the Comforter. But not only we have the Comforter, but God is our Father. I said to myself, If I have never known my father, physical father, biological father, doesn't matter for a Christian. Why? Because I gain a heavenly father that will never disown me. Forever, he will be my father. And that is a token and asset the Lord has given us. God gives something that only belongs to him. Do you see it in this verse? God gives you something that only belongs to God. What is it? It's one word there. Forever. Eternity. Maybe you heard me saying this. I keep repeating these things. The Christian is indestructible. Yes, the body will die. You know that. The body will die, but your soul will never die. As soon as the life comes to an end on this earth, you breathe the new air, fresh air, unpolluted air in heaven. There is no congestion charge there. It's pure, unpolluted. No technology to purify it. God himself is holy. God himself is pure. So that is really what we read in this verse 17, which, as I said, we haven't touched last time. Love the world, you will be let down. You will perish. But you love the Lord, you shall live forever. That's what the verse says. And the world passeth away. In chapter 2, verse 8, go back to it. It says, because the darkness is past. You see, the darkness with the Lord Jesus Christ is passing away. John chapter 1, we don't have time to go there, but John chapter 1 again, when Christ came, the darkness is vanishing away, passing by the power, because he's the light of the world, Jesus Christ, our Savior. So there is a gulf between the passing and the permanent. My dear friends, your possessions will not last. Nothing you have in this world. And I must read you this verse because you can use it with Jehovah Witnesses, you know. Hebrews chapter 1. It's interesting. I don't know. They read their Bible. They don't have a Bible. They have their own Bible, their own translation. But they read it with wooden glasses, I think. Because here in Hebrews chapter 1, look at verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, heaven and earth, they shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment. You know, and in verse 12, and thy ears shall not fail. This is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 8, the Lord said to my Lord, God speaks to God. And God himself, the Father, is addressing the Lord Jesus Christ as God. How can you say Jesus Christ is just another Adam, a greater than Adam, or just a prophet? No, he's God of the very God. Generation after generation, our world is really decayed. My dear friends, do you know the world is a doomed vessel? And it is Bunyan. You love John Bunyan? He said our world is the city of destruction. The world invites you and assassinates you. But Christ invites you to save you. A world of difference. Everything in this life is just precarious. My brothers and sisters, no, we don't sing. I will never sing, what a wonderful world. You know the song. I will never sing that. But what should I sing? What a wonderful Lord. What a wonderful Savior. Yes, I can sing that 1,000 times. But never, what a wonderful world. This world, there is nothing to attract. Of course, don't misunderstand me. There are many things. 1 Timothy chapter 6, we read it. We didn't continue in the reading. That God gives us many things in this world to enjoy. God gives them to us, but nothing should replace the place of God in our heart. I want my heart to be large. Enlarge your heart for the Lord. And make your heart smaller for the world. There will be new heaven and new earth. Now, as I said, my title, I have 10 helps in order to overcome the world. And I will list them for you. As I keep saying, each one of them could be a whole sermon, a whole study. But before we get there, if we don't put the world to death, the world will put us to death. That is one of the Puritans who said that, Thomas Manton. He said so. If you don't kill the world will kill you. If you don't kill sin, sin will kill you. That's the thing. And if you marry the spirit of this world, and you will find yourself a widow or a widower in the next life. See, we don't celebrate a wedding with this world. It will kill you. Or we easily fall in the lap of the world, of this world. And by nature, we have to confess we are worldly. Parents, I'm sure if you are honest, that this world offers nothing to our children. And I think everything today you see in this world is making children to run away from the Lord. Everything. I remember an elder many, many years ago who said to me, and he was honest, he said, if I have to educate my children today, in today's world, I will fail. All the gadgets, social media, the entertainment available at a fingertip. Once I took a friend of mine to Africa, and children didn't have all the toys here we have here. And the children there will make their own toys. They will fabric clay, metals, wires. And he saw some children. He made a very nice car, just made of wires. And there was a long wheel, and he could direct it. He looked at me. Really, he literally held me. He said, look, this child is so happy. But ours, they are surrounded with gadgets and gadgets, toys and toys, but they are still unhappy. See, you know the saying, money doesn't make anyone happy. Yeah? You cannot buy happiness. Happiness is in the Lord. So again, as we look at these things, the world, this world so loved of us is coming to an end. Oh, I love the world. I have to confess that. But as a believer, I reason. I come to my senses and say, this world will come to an end. It will let you down, or you will let it down when you die. So reason with yourself daily. And there is no cure from the world to overcome the world, only in the Lord. Now, number one, we just list them. If there is a need to comment one and two, because our time is almost over. Number one, exercise faith. And I give you the references. You study it for yourself later. We are in 1 John. If you just turn to 1 John chapter 5, I will show you one or two verses there. 1 John chapter 5. For whatsoever, verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh what? The world. Thank you. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. What? Even our faith. You see? And verse 5, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. That's why I said, the world offers nothing to overcome the world. But only Christ Jesus gives you the cure to overcome the world. And that is, all the verses, John 16, verse 33, we don't turn there. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Oh, you must know that verse by heart. Without faith, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. You must believe that God is, and He is the rewarder of them that believe. So how to overcome the world? Number one, exercise faith. Faith is a gift, but once it is given to us, we deploy it, we exercise it. You don't exercise it, it will die. So, Christ said He has overcome the world. To exercise faith is to trust, to walk with Christ, to walk humbly before God. It's interesting that expression of to overcome the world, in John's writings, he uses it 16 times, which means that the victory is on your side as a believer. The believer can overcome the world. We resist the devil, we mortify the flesh, and we overcome the world. You see, I listed for you the three enemies of the Christian. What do you do with Satan? You resist Satan. What do you do with the flesh? You mortify the flesh. What do you do with the world? You overcome the world. So the distribution is very clear. Number two. Oh, this one, I'm not going in order of importance of betterness. Prayer. Lead us not into temptation. Christ gave us the prayer there in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. The Lord's Prayer, as it is often called. Prayer. Keep us from the evil one. And He prayed for us in John chapter 17. Number three, repentance. I put three together here, repentance, confession, and forsaking our sin. The three go together. Proverbs 28, verse 13. God loves when we repent. And all our Christian life, I may tell you this honestly, all our Christian life is a life of repentance. It reminds us how weak we are. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Whoever thinketh that he standeth, let him take heed that he falleth not. You see, never overestimate. Some of us, wow, I'm invincible. We're speaking like the world. The world thinks it's invincible. Impregnable. But we have to be very serious about these things. So, repentance, confession, and forsaking our sins. Number four, separation from the world. We don't have time to go to the passage again, but you know the passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18. It's all there. What is the Lord asking us to do? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. Be holy as I am holy. Be ye holy as I am holy. Separate yourself from evil, from sin, from fornication, from idolatry, and so on. The Lord, this world murdered our Lord. How could I go and enjoy myself with the people of the world? So if you do that, it is you are becoming an accomplice, you know, an accomplice with the people who have murdered, killed your own master. You go and dance with them and enjoy yourself with them. No, I should run away from them. So separation, total separation. Come out, my dear friends, especially young ones, if I can speak to you. Separate and run away from even good friends who are worldly. The worldlings should be set aside. Even if they are good friends, But if they are not living according to the ways of the Lord and His commandments, I pray that God will give me strength and boldness to say, sorry, my dear friend, I love you, but I cannot associate myself with you. Oh, the world will say, this is intolerance. Yeah, well done. If it's intolerant, in obedience to the Lord, I prefer to obey the Lord than to please my friends. And this is the challenge you have, my dear friends, young ones. Really. So, we have escaped the corruption of this world. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Christ delivered us. He delivered us from this evil present age. You know, you have been delivered from this age, but you still go and embrace and give an accolade to the world. How far did I go? Number 4 or 5? 5. Number 6. Okay, number 5. Consecration. Dedication. Loyalty. Faithfulness to the local church. You know, we can spend the rest of the night just on this one. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to offer yourselves as living, your bodies as living sacrifice, and so on. You know the text. And verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Many young people don't know the will of God because they have not offered themselves, their bodies as living sacrifice. But the text says, if you do not conform yourself to the world, and you are transformed by the renewing of the mind, you will know the perfect will of God. Romans 12, 2. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Since you have been raised with Jesus Christ from the dead, set your affection on heavenly things. Consecration. So that is really Titus 2, verse 11 also. Oh, there is no way to please the world and to please the Lord. Number six. It's here in verse 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God, to do the will of God, what's another term we can use for that? Obedience. Thank you. Obedience. Simple. You obey the Lord, you will be blessed. Obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You can give all your money to the church, but if you are not obedient, it means nothing. You see, you can attend all services, but if you are not obedient, it means nothing to the Lord. You are just deceiving yourself. So, obedience is so important. Be a doer, not just a hearer of the word. If we love God, we wouldn't just be sitting in the pews. We will be doing something. And the doing goes with the believing, reading the word, meditating the word, memorizing the word, doing the word. And those things strengthen. You remember what Christ said, I believe. Let me just read this one, if you don't mind. Mark chapter 3. And Christ is speaking there. And he said, They ask him, saying, Christ said, who is my mother and my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about and said, behold my mother and my brethren. For verse 35, Mark chapter 3, for whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother. You see, the Lord put the obedience very high. Number seven, please remember the pilgrim concept. We are in pilgrimage. We are nomads passing by. We are tourists in this world, if you prefer. Just here, for this world is not our abode. Please don't pitch your tent deeply in this world. When I say tent, it's your body. We have a different home. The new heaven and new earth righteousness will dwell there. There is no righteousness in this world. But in Christ, there is righteousness. The world says, in Rome, do us the Romans. But we say, no, no, no. We are not Romans. We are Christians. That's the big difference. Or redeem the time, not to waste it. And, Christ prayed for us. And look more to Christ, and the things of this world will really be dim in your sight. I read in 1 Timothy chapter 6, we came in this world with nothing. We go also with nothing. Number 8, increase your love for God the Father, for God the Son, and for God the Holy Spirit. Increase your love for the Godhead. Jude verse 21, keeping yourselves in the love of God. Keeping yourselves in the love of God. And that's how the blessing comes. And please remember, in loving the Lord, remember what I call the Philippians 4 verse 8 principle. There is a principle in that verse. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely. You see, if there be any good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think, ponder on these things. And in verse 9, Paul says, if you do those things, the God of peace shall be with you. Number 9, flee youthful lusts. Flee idolatry. Flee immorality. Very simple. And self-denial is so vital. And the last one, more could be said, my dear friends. Please, this is a key, a vital one. The 10th one is vital for believers. Meditate every day on Calvary. Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Meditate every day on Calvary. We have every reason to love the Lord, the things of Christ and his kingdom. In closing, you heard about the 5 young American missionaries who went to, in the early 50s, they went to America, to South America, and they were killed there. One of them is called, his name is Jim Elliot. You know what he said? You know the saying. He has a good saying. He is no fool who gives away what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. So you lose nothing in losing the world, but in gaining the Lord, you will never lose the Lord. But the world, you will lose the world. But if you gain the Lord, you will never lose him. So may the Lord bless these things in our souls even tonight. And let's close our time together with hymn.